Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in. Have you ever been in a situation where someone told a joke and the entire room laughed, including you? There was just one problem. You never actually understood the joke. Well, that kind of thing happens in church too. Someone makes a statement that all the other church people seem to understand, but you're often left scratching your head thinking, I don't get it. Here's one for you. Have you ever heard somebody say, God told me? God told me I should buy this car. God told me I would be rich by the age of 40. God told me you and I were supposed to go on a date. Really? God told you that? Why does it seem like God's talking to everybody but me? God told me? What does that even mean? This is Church Talk. Over to you, Pastor Joel.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Hey, my name is Joel Sanchez. I'm one of the pastors here at Sunrise, and I'll be kicking off this series titled Church Talk. We're going to be talking about discerning and hearing and listening to the voice of God. Maybe at some point you've heard somebody in church say, you know, I believe that God told me that I needed to, and they'll tell you what they believe that God is speaking to them, that God is telling them to do. And they have a certainty and a confidence about that. And maybe you've walked away from that asking yourself, how can I learn to discern the voice of God? How do I know when God is speaking to me? How do I know when God is asking me or prompting me or moving me in a certain decision or in a certain direction? Maybe you are in a season in your life where you are trying to discern the will of God and the voice of God in your life. And a lot of times, that is one of the most challenging things for us as Christians. How do I know where God is leading me? We often talk about things like finding God's will as if it's something that is lost and something that is a puzzle or something that we have to figure out. I want to remind you of this. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you." I love this last line. He will not rebuke you for asking. The posture that I would hope that you would have, even as we begin this message today, is one where you would know and you would understand that God is perhaps more interested in showing you his will, his purpose for your life, than even you are in finding out. That God is not trying to hide his will. God is not trying to hide his purpose in such a way that make it difficult for you to find it. But that it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you're trying to figure something out in your life, just pray and ask God, and he will gladly give it to you. We're going to spend our time in the book of 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to look at somebody to whom God spoke directly, to whom God said, hey, here's what I want you to do, or here's what you should not do. And in spite of that, they chose to violate what God had ordered in their life. And our goal is to learn from the mistake that this person made so that you and I don't make the same mistake. So if you have a Bible, whether it's on your phone or you have a hard copy one, if not, the verses are going to be on the bottom of your screen. Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. Here's what it reads. It says, "For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his officials, 'Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? And yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram.' So he asked Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead?' Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.'" So let me give you a little bit of the background, a little bit of the setting so you understand what is happening. The king that he is talking about here, the king of Israel, is actually King Ahab. King Ahab is one of the most wicked kings in the Old Testament. Actually, his wife, Jezebel, and him are like the wicked power couple of the moment. If you actually go down in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife." So Jehoshaphat goes down to meet with King Ahab. And in the middle of this conversation, Ahab says, you know what? The king of Aram was supposed to, as a result of a peace treaty, of a war that they were involved in, the king of Aram had said, hey, I'm going to give you back Ramoth-Gilead, a town that belonged to them. And Ahab goes down and in this conversation with Jehoshaphat says, you know what? It's been 3 years and he has not done that. And I want to get my town back. I believe that I have a right to that. And he asked Jehoshaphat, he says, are you willing to come with me? Are you willing to fight with me? And Jehoshaphat replies and he says, absolutely. My people are your people and your horses are my horses. There had been an allegiance between these two kings due to some intermarriage. In verse 5, however, Jehoshaphat says, hey, before we go out there, Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. So Jehoshaphat says, hey, before we go out there, it would be good for us to just kind of consult and see what it is that God is asking us to do, if God is saying yes or if God is saying no. So King Ahab gathers the prophets together, about 400. This is a really big crowd, and says, hey, we're thinking about going to war. Should we go to war or not? And the verdict unanimously, I mean, here's what it says in the word. The verdict pretty much unanimously is, go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. Green light. Let's go. Let's do it. But for some reason, Jehoshaphat is not too sure. Verse 7, it says, but Jehoshaphat asked, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? So Jehoshaphat is like, I get it that these 400 guys are saying yes, but I'm a little bit, do you have anybody else? Is there anybody else around that we could call or talk to? In other words, Jehoshaphat had a sense that these prophets were maybe not speaking what God wanted them to speak. Verse 8, the king of Israel has a pretty interesting response. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there's still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord. I love this, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. The king should not say such a thing, Jehoshaphat replied. This is really interesting. Jehoshaphat says, hey, Ahab, do you have anybody else? Is there anybody else around that's a little bit more trustworthy than these guys? And Ahab is like, ugh. I mean, there's one dude. His name is Micaiah, but I hate him. You know, Ahab comes across like just a stubborn, spoiled little kid. He's like, he never says anything good. I don't like him. He never prophesies anything good. Jehoshaphat is like, hey, dude, just calm down. Bring him out. Let's see what he has to say. Verses 9 through 12. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenana, had made iron horns, and he declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. So here's the scene, right? Jehoshaphat has asked Ahab, hey, is there anybody else that we can ask? I just, you know, it's like, I kind of just want a second opinion. I know what this doctor said, but do you know anybody else that I could maybe just get another set of eyes to look at this? And Ahab is like, well, there's one dude, I don't like him, but whatever, we'll go get him. In the meantime, Ahab and Jehoshaphat are sitting on their thrones by the entrance of the gate. The 400 prophets are creating this scene, which I'm assuming is full of emotion and it's full of pomp and circumstance. And actually one of the guys, comes out and produces these iron horns. And he's like, with these horns, you will gorge the Arameans. This is what God says. The rest of the other hundreds of, yes, you should do it. Go, go. It seems that all systems are a go. So they bring out the one dude that always just, you know, is the one that has never anything good to say about Ahab, verses 13 through 15. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, the other prophets, without exception, are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." So the guy that goes to get him, he says, "Hey, the king wants, Ahab wants to know. He has a question, wants to know what we should do. Let me just kind of set the tone for you. Let me let you know what's going on out there. We've got about 400 guys, and they're all saying, attack Ramoth-Gilead. The Lord will give it to you. You're going to be victorious. So here's what I want you to do, okay? Just come on out, agree with them, say it, and that's it. And we'll be done." It seems, actually, that Micaiah had already been put in prison because of the fact that he never prophesied anything good. So the guy's trying to do him a favor. The guy says, "Hey, just come on out and just say something good, and just we can just be done." But here's what it says in verse 14. "But Micaiah said, 'As surely as the Lord lives, I can only tell him what the Lord tells him.'" Micaiah replied and he says, "Listen, I can't tell you anything that whatever it is that God tells me to tell him." When Micaiah arrived, verse 15, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" This is actually a really cool incident, because Micaiah, when they go get him and they tell him, "Hey, just say it's okay. Just say it's okay, right? Just tell him to go." And he comes out and the king says, "Hey, shall I go to war?" And Micaiah, I'm not sure if you're able to get it, but Micaiah, he's a little sarcastic. And so I imagine that when the king, King Ahab, asked him, he says, "Hey, shall I go to war or not?" Micaiah's like, "Yeah, sure, go. You're going to be victorious. You're going to wipe him out. It's going to be the best thing ever." And at that point, Ahab understands that Micaiah is being sarcastic. And that's why he says, "How many times," verse 16, "how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" In other words, Ahab is like, "I know you're lying to me. I know you're just telling me what I want to hear." So then Micaiah's like, "Oh, okay." Verse 17, "Then Micaiah answered, 'I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.' The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?'" So when Micaiah gets called out and Ahab is like, "Hey, just tell me the truth." And Micaiah says, "Okay, I'm going to tell you. I saw all of Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd." Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat and he's like, "You see? Do you see why I don't like him? You see? Because everything he says about me is bad. He's just a negative person." Micaiah continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,' he said. 'You will succeed in enticing him,' said the Lord. 'Go and do it.' So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you." Listen, this is a pretty serious situation. Because what Micaiah says is, "You know what, Ahab? God has set you up through all of these prophets, and he has put a lying spirit in their mouth." In other words, what Micaiah was telling Ahab that God was telling Ahab was, because you are set in what you want to do, because you want no boundaries, because you will not hear the word of God, because you will not obey the voice of God, because you have decided to openly rebel and do what you want to do, God has given you over to your own desires and to your own wants. Here's what I want to tell you. For some of us, when we insist on our own way, when we insist on our sin, when we insist on doing whatever we want to do, I don't want to hear to anybody's advice. I don't want to hear what the Bible says. I don't want to hear what God has to say. There comes a point, if you continue in that path of rebellion, in which God will take his hand off of you and say, "I will let you do what you want to do. I will no longer lead you. I will no longer speak to you. And you will not even listen to me." And God will give you over to your own destruction. I'm not talking about making a mistake. I'm not talking about getting something wrong. I'm talking about a spirit of rebellion that is unmanageable, that you can't speak anything into it. There comes a point in which if you continue to defy God, that God will take his hands off of you and say, okay, you do what you want to do. I'm not going with you. I'm not protecting you. I'm not speaking into you. As a matter of fact, I will allow the enemy to trip you and confuse you, and I will let it happen. That's exactly what Micaiah said. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenana, the same guy that went to get Micaiah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you? He asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says, put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. So Ahab, furious and angry, says, take him back to prison. And I'll deal with you when I return. And Micaiah says, you will not return. You will not return. God has already spoken it. Move down to verse 29 so you can see the ending of this. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised and went into the battle. This is really interesting. The two kings go into battle. And Ahab, the wicked, evil king, tells Jehoshaphat, he says, hey, listen, here's my plan. You go in, you wear your royal robes, you wear your crown. I'm going to go in disguise. I'm going to blend in. This is how we are going to go into this battle. Verse 31. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel, this is Ahab, between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long, the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. Listen, this is a pretty extreme case. I mean, he died unwilling to listen to the voice and the direction of God in his life. Now, I know that for some of you, maybe for those of you that are listening, that are trying to discern God's voice and trying to figure out God's will, maybe it's not a life and death situation, but it is incredibly important. So how do we do that? How do I get to that point in my life where I can learn what God is speaking to me and I can learn how God is leading me? I want to share three things that maybe will be an encouragement to you, practical things that you can do as you try to learn to listen and to discern the voice of God. Here's number one, consult before you conclude. Consult before you conclude. What does that mean? What that means is that you don't make up your mind about a decision and then tell God what your decision is and ask him to bless it. It's interesting because when Ahab goes to talk to Jehoshaphat, he doesn't say, hey, I've been thinking about this. He says, this is what I'm going to do. It's been 3 years and I'm going to go do this. There is no, I'm going to talk to God about it. I'm going to pray. Actually, Jehoshaphat is the one that says, hey, maybe we should pray. Maybe we should ask whatever it is that God has to say. Listen, there are times in which we are saying, God, would you show me what your will is? But in the back of your mind, you've already made your decision. You are already bent that is exactly what you're going to do. You've been thinking about this for weeks, for months, maybe for years. You've got a Pinterest board that you've been keeping. You've got links on your computer you have a vision and you have an idea. One of the most dangerous things is to ask God for direction about a situation or a decision that you already have made up your mind about. Listen, God understands where you are. So just be honest. Just say, you know what, God, I've been thinking about buying that car. I've been thinking about quitting my job. I've been thinking about getting into this relationship, and I really want to do it. And here's all the reasons why I want to do it, and here's all the reasons why I think it's a good idea, and here's my plan, and here's my layout. But God, I'm pretty convinced on this. I'm pretty sold on this. But at the end of the day, I want to do your will more than anything else in my life. Can you just be honest with God? That there's times, and you know this, there's times in which you've made up your mind about something. And listen, it is incredibly hard for you to listen to the voice of God when you've already determined and you've already decided, this is what I'm going to do. You see this, maybe not in yourself, but you see this in other people. Those of you that have children, maybe you see it in your children. They've made up their mind that they're going to enter into this relationship. They've made up their mind that they're going to move out. They've made up their mind. And they're saying, well, I'm praying. Well, I'm asking God. Well, you know, if there's an open door. Can I also tell you that just because there's an open door does not mean that God is the one that's opening it? You know, the devil has a set of keys too, right? You know that. And so God is not the only one that can open doors. Sometimes the enemy will fling a door open, and sometimes we think, well, they approved the loan. It must be something that God wants me to do. Well, I got the job. It must be God wanting me to take it. Well, they said yes, so it must be. Listen, don't automatically assume that because a door opened, God is the one that opened that door. The devil has a set of keys as well. And I've seen the enemy open doors for people and they think, well, I mean, it's easy, so it must be that God is leading me. Don't automatically assume that God is leading you. For King Ahab, he was like, well, it's been 3 years. He said he was going to give it to me. He hasn't given it to me yet. I have a right to do this. I'm going to go down and get it. And it cost him his life. Listen, just because the door is open, you still have to pray. God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to step through that door? Is it you who are doing this? Because not every open door is from God. Consult before you conclude. Don't just assume. Don't just assume. God, I've thought about this. I've prayed about this. And everything checks off. Army, check. Chariots, check. Horses, check. He owes me the land, check. Okay, I must be going. No, God, do you still want me to do this? Because it is very difficult to convince somebody not to do something when they've already set their mind that they're going to do it. Is there a situation in your life right now that if you were honest, you would tell me, you know what? I'm praying and I'm asking God's guidance and I'm asking his direction, but Pastor, in the back of my mind, I've already made up my mind that I'm going to do it. Short of the second coming, short of a natural disaster, short of absolute, I've made up my mind that I'm going to do this. Listen, you need to lay that down and you need to be honest with God and say, you know what, God? I've made up my mind about this. This is where my heart is, but I want to listen to your voice and I want to listen to your will more than anything else in my life. Here's the second thing that is incredibly important as you're trying to discern the will of God in your life. Listen to the wisest counsel, not the loudest counsel. I'm not saying that just because it's loud, it's not God. But what I'm saying is that a lot of times we listen to the people that are loudest, to the people that are most expressive, to the people that are most opinionated in my life. And a lot of times that's not where God is. Very interesting that in verse 10, it says, dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets, about 400, prophesying before them. Zedekiah, son of Kenana, had made iron horns, listen, and he declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. In other words, the prophets had put on an impressive show. It was hard to argue against 400 guys clamoring and yelling and another guy doing a display. Listen, some of us make the mistake of listening and getting advice from people that have zero wisdom. They're nice. I'm not telling you that your best friend is not nice. I'm not telling you that your coworker is not nice. I'm not telling you that your cousin is not nice. They're nice. How do I say this? But they don't have wisdom. Pastor, how could you say that? I can say that because if you look at their life and you look at the fruit of their life, they don't have the capacity to advise you in an area where they have failed over and over and over again. I'm not telling you they're not nice people, but when I'm trying to make a decision, nice is not going to cut it. I need wisdom. And a lot of times the wisest people are not the loudest people. A lot of times the wisest people are not the flashiest people. They're not the showiest people. They're not the upfront people. They're not the people that are trying to always give you advice. A lot of times the wisest people are the people that are sitting back and wisely just observing. Find those people. Find the people that are living according to God's word. Find the people whose life and whose marriage and whose family and whose finances demonstrate that they have wisdom. Ask them for advice. A lot of us make the mistake of leaning on people that are nice and are well-meaning. They just don't have anything to offer us from God's word. When I want advice, there's a whole lot of people that I can call. And by the way, there's even people that I can call that will tell me what I want to hear. Ahab had amassed a group of 400 prophets that would tell him whatever he wanted to hear. Because it was clear that if you told him what he did not want to hear, he would retaliate against you. So now, let me just put this out there for some of you, and I want to be sensitive, but I want to be straightforward. There are some of you that you don't have anybody in your life, listen to me, you don't have anybody in your life that can speak truth to you because your personality is so strong and you are so stubborn and you are so determined to do whatever you want to do that nobody dares to speak truth into your life. And as a matter of fact, there are some of you that have ended relationships with people, have ended friendships with people. There are some of you that have left the previous church where you were at because somebody spoke truth to your life and you determine, I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to tell me. There's no room for that in my life. There are some of us that when somebody speaks the cold, hard truth, we do kill the messenger. Is that you? Do you have people in your life that you know that they will tell you the truth even if you don't want to hear it? Even if they know that you want to do something else, lovingly and gently, and even bluntly sometimes, do you have people in your life that are willing to speak truth to you, or have you isolated everybody that can tell you about, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Do you have people in your life that can tell you about you? And can say, hey, here's an area of weakness. Hey, you need to watch for that. Hey, you're going to stumble again in that same area. Or have you decided anybody that doesn't support me and tell me that I'm great and tell me that I'm wonderful and tell me that I'm amazing, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to deal with them. I'm not talking about being in an abusive relationship where people take advantage. I'm talking about people that can speak truth into your life. Have you designed your life in such a way that everybody around you just claps and tells you how wonderful you are and how great you are and they don't have the audacity and the authority and the ability. Listen, sometimes the way that God shows his will in your life is by the people who are in it. So I'm concerned as to why you're willing to listen to somebody on Instagram who's 24 years old and considers themselves an author, a blogger, a singer, a producer, a hand model. I'm just wondering, because they have a pretty long resume for being 24, and you're like, oh, I'm going to follow. Oh, so let me see what they're saying about life and marriage. They've been married for 2.5 weeks. Oh, but they have a blog. I know they have a blog. Anybody can get a blog. So my concern is that we are allowing people who are nice, but they just don't have any experience or any wisdom to speak into our life. Are you teachable by the people that have something to teach you? Ahab didn't care. He had 400 prophets that, hey, am I handsome? Yeah, yes, you're the most handsome. Well, okay. good prophets. Hey, am I going to win? He died while a bunch of 400 fools are like, oh, you're going to, yeah, go attack Raven. God said, no, God didn't say that. And when the one lonesome dude steps out and has the audacity, listen, the boldness, the audacity to say, you're going to die. Put him back in prison. I don't want to hear that. Now these 400, I want to hear these guys. Anybody else got any other shows? Anybody else? I like these. Can we get all these guys a promotion? Can we get them drinks? And are you teachable? Are you teachable? Are you the kind of person that God can speak to you through somebody else? And even if it's not what you want to hear, even if you don't like it, that you can say, okay, God, I'm not going to kill the messenger. And listen, there's times in which people speak truth into your life and they're not kind about it. They're not gentle about it. They're not polite about it. You need to get over it. You need to get over it. I wish they would have been nice. I wish they would have been polite. I wish they would have been kind. I wish they would have been gentle. But at the end of the day, what they said is truth. Are you teachable? Are you simply listening to the loudest advice? And are you forgetting to listen to the wisest advice? And here's my third point. Discern what is inside you before you discern what is beyond you. Discern what is inside you before you discern what is beyond you. Here's the deal with Ahab. Ahab was on a trail and had a mindset for revenge, for retaliation, for war. He was set. That's what was inside of him. And if anybody else tried to speak something different into his life, reality didn't matter. The word of the prophet didn't matter. The vision of the prophet didn't matter. He did not care. He was set, this is what I'm going to do. His heart was wicked. His heart was evil. And there was no turning from that. It didn't matter what anybody spoke into that man's life. That is what he was going to do. Now, let me tell you something. I have seen more people make mistakes in their life trying to discern the will of God. Not because God did not speak. Listen to me. Not because God did not speak, but because God spoke, but they were not able to hear it because of what was going on in their life. Let me break it down for you. I've seen people get into bad relationships. Mom was saying, don't do it. Dad was saying, don't do it. Best friend was saying, don't do it. And they couldn't hear it. And the reason why they couldn't hear it was because they were incredibly lonely. And because they weren't able to discern, listen, because they weren't able to discern the loneliness in their heart, they stepped into a bad relationship, even though everybody else around was saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But because they were lonely, because they were tired of being single, because they were tired of being the third wheel, because I just want to have somebody that I can go to the movies with. And they didn't discern that in their life. They made a decision outside of God's will because they couldn't discern what was inside of them, and hence they were not able to discern what was beyond them. I've seen people take a job simply because it paid more money. Well, it pays more money than this other job. And maybe God was saying, but look at how many hours you're going to have to work, and look at the commute and the stress that it's going to put on your marriage and all. But I just want more money. They weren't able to discern what was inside of them. I've seen people make bad decisions because of greed, because of loneliness, because of depression, because of anger, because of pride, because of low self-esteem, because of all of these things, because of a pattern of sin. I've seen people make decisions and be unable to discern the will of God and the voice of God in their life, not because God wasn't clear, not because it wasn't evident, not because God didn't give them the signs, but because there were things inside of them that they had not dealt with. And because they had not dealt with, they were impaired in being able to make a decision that they should have been able to make. Pastor, how do I discern the voice of God in my life? The closer you are to God, and the more you walk with Him, and the more connected you are with Him, and the more committed you are to Him, the more God will tell you about you. And when God begins to show you your impatience, when God begins to show you your greed, when God begins to show you your sin, when God begins to show you your loneliness, when God begins to show you your low self-esteem, when God begins to show you your envy, your lack of contentment, when God begins to peel, as you get into His Word every single day, how do I discern the will of God in a major decision? Every single day, day by day, piece by piece, moment by moment with Jesus. And as He shows you about you, He begins to say, you know why? You know why you're afraid of taking that step that I'm asking you to take? Because you don't have faith that I'm going to go with you. Let me show you in my word that I stand behind those who I send. You want to know why you're thinking about quitting that job? Because you don't want to deal with this and with this and with this, and here's what I'm asking you to do. You want to know why you want to walk out of that marriage? Because you don't like the fact that they're pointing this and this and this, and I'm trying to work. Does that make sense? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. I love this last part. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. How do I discern the will of God for what is beyond me? God, would you show me what is inside of me? God, as I'm trying to make this decision, is there something that you are trying to deal with? Is there something that you are trying to show? Is there something that you're trying? Is me getting in the way of me? But even beyond that, God, is me getting in the way of you? The closer you are to Him, and the more He shows you who you are, the better you'll be able to discern God's will and God's voice and God's plan for your life. But remember, James chapter 1, verse 5. God is not trying to hide His will. He's not trying to send you on an obstacle course, on a maze, on a treasure hunt. God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to reveal. God is more interested in you knowing His plan for your life than you are in even finding out. My hope and my prayer is that you would rest in that. If you are listening to this, if you're watching this, and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I pray that today would be the day that you would take that step. That there's a God who loves you, and He wants to guide you, and He wants to give you His wisdom, and He wants to lead you, not only in this life, but He wants to give you the certainty and the assurance of eternal life in heaven. He wants to give you a life where you are not burdened down by the weight of the guilt and the shame of your sin. He wants to live inside you, and He wants to give you His wisdom for the challenges that you face. If you have never taken that step, maybe you've watched online for a while, maybe you've been to church, but you've never made that decision to say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I pray that today would be the day that you would do that. I pray that today would be the day that you would say, God, I surrender my life to you. I know that I am a sinner, but today I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior to guide me and to lead me. I want to follow Him for the rest of my life. If you made that decision, or if you want to make that decision, please let us know. Write it in the comments section or in the chat window. There's folks that are here waiting and available to pray for you, to encourage you at this time. Or if you want to recommit your life to Christ, maybe you walked away. Maybe something happened where you didn't hear God's voice, where you followed and you ended up in a really bad place. And maybe you're here today and you're looking for God. And the amazing news is that God is always available to be found. So if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, or if you want to give your life to Christ, we would love to pray with you. Or if you have a need, whatever your prayer may be, whatever your request may be, we would love to have the opportunity to pray for you and to encourage you during this time. Hey, it has been such a joy and such a pleasure to be with you today and to kick off this series. I pray that it has been a blessing for you. Today, we are celebrating communion, and so I'm going to give you some time in order for you to gather communion elements if you're going to be participating with us in that. Thank you once again, Sunrise Church. May God bless you this day.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. And you'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.